Please be seated. Have your Bible with you. You might want to pull that out. Still reveling a little bit in the wisdom coming from our children this morning. You also see why I don't usually ask you to raise your hands and comment during the sermon, right? I love what they have to share. I love that childlike openness to new things and to thinking right in the moment. I think every one of us can learn that from the children in our lives. We are continuing today in our sermon series entitled Faith and Money, and we're a little ways into it. In the first week, we talked about treasure, talked about the way Jesus said, store it in heaven, not down here. This idea that our hearts get linked to our money and possessions, and Jesus is trying to spare us from some of the hurt that comes when things are stolen or things are broken down and degraded. Second week, we talked about being streetwise, having savvy and wisdom in the way that we manage the things that Jesus has entrusted to each of us. And then last week we talked about greed, the power of greed, and also the power of taking the surplus that we're blessed with in this world and not holding on to it, but using it to bless the people around us. Today, we're going to talk about debt. And we're doing all of this because the Bible talks a lot about money. And as Christians, we want to know what the Bible says so that we can follow after the wisdom it provides in all areas of life, including our money and possessions. We have a single verse that's going to launch us into our message today. You've been seeing it throughout the service. It is Proverbs 22, verse 7, which you can now see up on the screen. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Let's pray for a moment as we dive into the concept that's contained here. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful to be together in worship today. We're thankful for your invitation at all times to come into your presence so that we can offer ourselves back to you. And so as we sing, as we pray, as later we take this communion meal that you've offered to us, we do all of this in a posture of worship. So thankful for who you are and the welcome you've provided to each of us. In these next few minutes, God, as we look into your scripture, I ask that you give each of us eyes to see just what you want us to see. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us conviction that's strong so we can apply what we see and understand to the way we live every day. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Debt. So we're talking about today. And there is power in that small word. And I imagine some of you who are just sort of grinding your way through this Faith and Money series thinking, why on earth are we talking about money? For eight whole weeks in the church, when we come to the topic of debt, you're like, well, I didn't think it could get any worse. But now we're going to talk about debt in the church. And we are, because Scripture talks about debt and the power that debt can have over each of our lives. And when we talk about debt, we're talking about credit cards, equity lines, school loans, car payments, home mortgages, and the list goes on and on. Debt could be defined as a financial liability or obligation owed to another. On paper, up on the screen, it's awfully simple, right? And we'd all agree, I imagine, that given a choice, we'd rather not be in debt, right? If we could do it on our own, if we always had enough resources, none of us would be looking for ways to get into debt. It's when something that we want is out of our reach that debt becomes a piece of our lives. But most of us would choose not to be in debt if we could choose. Because debt can be debilitating. It can be demoralizing. It can be something that robs us of our peace and security. Debt can leave us feeling extremely trapped in this world, under a pile that it seems like we can never come out from under. Now, in one way, the solution to the problem of debt is extremely simple. So simple, in fact, that Saturday Night Live solved it for us just a few years ago in one of their classic sketches. Take a look at the screen.
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
It's like we're never gonna get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help.
We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, If You Don't Have the Money, Don't Buy It, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
All right, should we let out? Have we solved the whole thing in just those few moments? The reason something like that is funny is because at the most basic level when it comes to debt, every single one of us in this room knows exactly how it works. And we know that if we simply followed what they're talking about on that skit, we would be okay. Now, of course, the concept is simple, but the experience is much more complex. I know that. Solution is easy to understand, but extremely difficult to carry out. And I think there's a couple reasons for this. First of all, some debt is simply unavoidable. Some debt is simply unavoidable. Those of us who are sitting here in this room, who live in Southern California, who live in San Diego specifically, we know this, right? You don't need me to be telling you this. This is an extremely expensive place to live, and if we choose to live here, or even if we have to live here, we know that there's some measure of debt that might be unavoidable for us, dependent upon our income, our job, our life situation, our living situation. All of these things can be complex. And so I want you to hear me now. When we're talking about debt this morning, I'm not trying to shame anyone who finds themselves in the place where you are carrying unavoidable debt. That's a part of life. Unavoidable debt is something that we need to sift our way through and sort our way through with the wisdom of God, the wisdom of our faith community around us. But there's not shame in doing that. There is, however, another form of debt, this avoidable debt, much of which was being talked about, that is a factor for many of us, and we need to use wisdom when we talk about that. The second reality here is that all debt has a spiritual dimension. All debt, whether it's avoidable or whether it's unavoidable, there's a spiritual dimension to it. And like we've talked about a couple times so far in this series, we like to avoid that. We like to say, no, this is just dollars and cents. That's just what I do to live and to survive. And then I go to church on Sundays, and I work on my faith a little bit, and then I move back out into my world. But the truth is, all of these things are inextricably linked. That's what Jesus was talking about when we started with money and possessions and the way that they grab hold of our heart. It always is linked together, including debt. Whether or not we carry it, how much we carry of it, it has an impact on our spiritual life. And so let's return to today's verse for a little bit of insight into this power that debt can hold over us. Let's talk about voluntary slavery. That's a strong couple words, isn't it? Voluntary slavery. None of us would say that we volunteer for any form of slavery. We want nothing to do with that. We don't want anyone else to have anything to do with that. But Proverbs 22, verse 7 clearly says that debt is voluntary slavery. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender, as in forced to serve the lender, as in options become limited, as in following Jesus becomes more difficult. And while some debt is unavoidable, choosing debt is often a problem. That's where our voluntary slavery comes in. I want to read a brief passage from Exodus 21, verses 1 through 6, which gives another example of a form of voluntary slavery in ancient Israel. God says, these are the laws you are to set before them, speaking to Moses. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she is to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons or daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and children and do not want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. Now I hope that, like me, when you hear that, you think, goodness sakes, wow, this is some graphic stuff. We're piercing ears and requiring people to stay for life, or asking someone potentially to leave behind a wife and children at the end of this. But the point that I want you to see in this is that there was a voluntary nature to the arrangement that was being described in this particular place. It wasn't slavery like the kind of slavery that we have in the history of our country. This was slavery or servanthood that was something that people volunteered for because there was a certain remuneration that came with it, a certain amount of provision that came with it, a place to live and the money that they wanted. And so they made a deal knowing it was going to take these many years, 6 years of service before freedom would even be possible. And that choice was made in a knowing fashion. A person deciding it was going to be worth it, and they would do that in order to receive what they received. In a similar way, when we make decisions to spend something that we don't have, even if in the moment we're simply excited about the thing we're now able to purchase, we are also submitting ourselves to that kind of slavery. And we don't often think about how long it's actually going to take. In our minds, we think to ourselves, well, I'm going to pay this off in no time. My monthly bill's going to come, and I'll pay it. It'll be all fine. But we don't always compute how exactly we're going to get it done and how long it's actually going to take without really being able to weigh as well what the impact's going to be on our life, what it will actually prevent us from doing in the future. The illustration that Laura used earlier was a perfect one. Yes, 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 I want to go to that place. Okay, I'll do what you asked me to do. But then that new opportunity pops up that you never had an idea about, and now you are sidelined from that because you took on a different debt that you're enslaved to being able to pay off in the process. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on this particular verse, says that some sell their liberty to gratify their luxury. And I think that's a statement worth thinking about. Where have I sacrificed the freedom that God's given me, the availability to God, even having the funds that I need to be able to help others in God-led ways because I have bound myself to a debt that I am overwhelmed with in paying off? Do you remember when you got your first credit card? I distinctly remember getting my first credit card. I was in college. Mom and dad were so supportive and helpful for me. I graduated. They were helping to take care of my rent in that season, and they gave me a little bit of money for groceries. And then I had a job on the side that I was responsible for all the rest of my expenses, my payment on my truck and gas and anything else that I needed kind of just for living day to day. It was actually a perfect arrangement. And there was no need for debt of any kind. There was no unavoidable debt in my life. I could just make my way through and launch into the world perfectly. But someone told me, Kevin, you need to get a credit card. You need credit so you can buy a house someday. And there's a little bit of wisdom to that, but they didn't provide much other wisdom aside from apply and get a credit card. And by God's grace, they didn't give me a big credit limit. Because as soon as that credit card arrived, it was burning a hole in my pocket, okay? And we're talking, I needed all kinds of essential things, like new wheels and tires on my truck, and a subwoofer to go in the back to make my stereo system sound better, and I'm not going to even tell you the rest, it's just really embarrassing. I spent the entire credit limit in no time on that card. And of course, all you have to do is make the minimum payment, right? You know? And it's pretty crazy how minimal the minimum payment is, right? You've got this balance of $1,000 on there, and all they need is $12 this month? Awesome. You know, sending in my $12, feeling like things are great. If you want, you can ask Mandy about how long into our marriage it took to pay off my debt when we eventually started our life together. It was because I carried all of that with me without freedom to do other things for items that I didn't need, items that I wanted. But when I look back on that season of my life, I voluntarily indebted myself. I voluntarily submitted to a kind of slavery that in the end prevented a lot of the freedom I could have experienced. And I think that's what's at the heart of what Proverbs is telling us here. There's this idea that we were meant to be free. When we borrow, whether by necessity or choice, we place ourselves under the power of another. And it really is a faith issue. As much as we try to keep these things separate, it's about faith and about our relationship with God. Another way to think about it would be, on the one hand, there is a faith in God that each of us holds. God is our provider, God as the giver of all good things, and God who will provide everything we need in his time. And then on the other hand, we can put our faith in credit. We can buy it now and trust, a form of belief, trust that the money will come later. We do make a choice. And if you've ever paused and really saved for that thing you wanted, something really amazing happens. First of all, it's great discipline, and it helps you to really weigh the resources that are pouring into your life and be thankful for them in new ways. It's wonderful to watch that savings accumulate until the day comes and you finally get to purchase the thing. When you do purchase the thing, you feel this wonderful sense of accomplishment at having done the right thing, gotten to that place, and then being able to experience the thing that you saved all that time for. And something else often happens that is really quite glorious. I don't know if you've experienced the same thing as me. It takes long enough to save for the thing that by the time you get ready to buy it, you're like, I don't even want that thing anymore. Saves you from it altogether. I would have slapped my credit card down, been indebted for that, and I didn't even really want it in the first place. There's something beautiful about weighing all of these things and at the same time seeing that there is a spiritual dilemma here and that trusting in God and his provision is a piece of the puzzle when it comes to debt. Well, how should we respond to all of this? What are we supposed to do as followers of Jesus if we want to avoid the powerful influence of debt? At the risk of sounding silly, my first point is right from the SNL clip, don't buy things you can't afford. Don't buy things you can't afford. That is such a piece of wisdom, as simple as it sounds. When we get ready to purchase something, whether it's a new car or a home or whether it's a vacation that we're planning to go on or some other item in our life, to be able to pause in that synapse between desire and fulfilling it and say, I can't actually afford this. I shouldn't spend this much. I can't afford this one, but I can't afford that one. And making those kinds of choices, it's key for us. The Message translation says, so don't borrow and put yourself under their power. In something as simple as walking away from the purchase or choosing to buy something a little bit different that you can't afford, you dodge submitting yourself to that power that can then dampen your ability to follow after Christ the way he intended. Secondly, commit yourself to eliminating existing debt. If you're carrying existing debt that's strangling you, that's holding you down, commit yourself to eliminating that. And you don't have to do it on your own. There's no shame in talking with someone, a trusted financial advisor, or using one of the dozens of financial apps that are out there these days that really help with this process, or leaning on your community of faith to help you sort things through and figure out the best way out from under that debt. Avoiding it means that you remain enslaved to it. And we want to be people who are free in every aspect of our lives, including our finances. And so if you find yourself in that kind of debt, it's time to ask for help. It's time to lean into what people can provide for you. It's time to use that old-fashioned thing called a budget. Every single one of us figuring out what our intake is, what we can afford on the outtake, and then working on our own finances to come out from under debt if that's the case for us. It sounds too simplistic, I know that, and I know the weight of this is profound for some in this congregation, but I want us to swim into this with a boldness that comes from our faith in God. And so take time this week, if you would, to use the questions that you have in your bulletin. We talked about this all through this series. The conversation we have here on Sunday mornings is meant to be the beginning of the conversation, and the scriptures that are listed in those questions, and the questions themselves, whether there's something you go through on your own or whether there's something you go through with a couple other people, are a great way to dig a little bit deeper, asking for God's wisdom through His Holy Spirit as you do so, to see what changes might be relevant and might be encouraged to you as each of us seeks to follow Jesus more closely. The shackles of debt are not God's best for us, and so let's take the steps to break this bondage so we can live and serve our God and each other wholeheartedly. Let me pray for us. Jesus' money has so much power. And in some ways, it's just the transaction that we engage in every single day to live in this world. We know that. But there are so many traps along the way, and there's so much that money can do to sideline us from what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. And so help each of us in this area of debt. Help us to figure out how to responsibly manage the unavoidable debt in our lives so that we can live day in and day out the resources that you've provided for us, being faithful in the ways that we manage the money you've provided. And give us wisdom, God. Give us wisdom when it comes time to choose between continuing as we are or putting ourselves into that avoidable debt, putting ourselves under the power of another. We want your help and your wisdom to live responsibly so that we can live in free ways to serve you and the people around us. I pray all of these things now. In Jesus' name, amen.